Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Moving Ahead podcast. I'm John Joynes. I'm your host. And I wanted to apologize to everyone first out of the gate about last week. I did not put an episode out. And I know that I may have shot myself in the foot there a little bit because consistent and good content is key with this podcast game. And I'm still working on the good content part. And maybe I'm just too hard on myself. I don't know. I hope that all of you enjoy what I'm putting out and you enjoy listening and you keep coming back and you tell a friend and you share it and you rate and review and do all those great things because this means a lot to me. As I've said before, I really enjoy putting this content out. I'm passionate about what we talk about here on this podcast and I appreciate all of you. So I apologize from the bottom of my heart very deeply that I forgot to put an episode out last week. And I'm not being fair to myself because forgot is not the right word for that. Quick story time, all right? Which is a great segue because the theme for today's episode is about storytelling. But real quick, I have a great guest, a great conversation with one of my good friends that I worked with and worked for at Disneyland back in the day, and she will be my guest soon, hopefully. There's some issues around that I'm not going to talk about in respect to her privacy and some other things, but there's some issues that have delayed that. So that episode will be forthcoming sometime in the near future, but that was supposed to air last week. And by the time I got all the details squared away with her, it was kind of too late to record a backup episode, juggling the kids and the wife going back to work and all the things that we've got going on over here in Massachusetts at my household. Just messed up and didn't get an episode out for you guys last week. So I truly apologize. Now that that's out of the way, with that said, this week I wanted to talk a little bit about storytelling and how important it is to your career development and really just life in general. How do you tell your story? Are you a good storyteller? Do you struggle with your elevator speech, as it's called sometimes, or your synopsis of your career, of your life, of your accomplishments? Do you struggle with this? Now, this is kind of easy for me because two things. A, I like to talk, in case you haven't noticed. Those of you that know me outside of this podcast know that I never shut up. My wife tells me I over-explain things, whatever. We're not here to talk about her and what she thinks of me. But I like to talk. I like to share information. I like to get to know people, and you really do that through conversation. So A, out of the gate, I like to talk. B, I spent most of my career as an adult. Well, I guess that's the only time you really work. Did anyone have a career as a kid? Can I consider my time working, scooping ice cream at Baskin Robbins or humping groceries at Albertsons? Can I consider that a career? I was so young. I was in high school and college. Is that a career? So when I say my adult career or my career as an adult, that's a little redundant. So anyway, during my career, I worked 18 years, almost 18 years, 17 and three quarter years at a storytelling company, the Walt Disney Company, known around the world for its storytelling. And no matter what you did there, whether it was security guard, security management, whether you clean the toilets, whether you work on the trams, whether you are an electrician, whatever the case may be, whatever piece of that ultimate puzzle you were, whatever part you played, in the overall scheme of things, you're a storyteller because that's what Disney is all about. So even the person changing the oil on the Autopia car, and if you don't know what that is, Google it. I'm not going to explain it. But even that person plays an important role of the overall Disneyland, Disney World overall story. So it's a storytelling company. And in fact, if you look up any of their jobs posted anywhere, LinkedIn, Indeed, whatever the case may be, they start out with saying a little synopsis of what the Walt Disney Company is. In case you've been living under a rock and you don't know, they say we're storytellers. And those are the kind of people they're looking for, is someone who is a great storyteller, no matter what their role may be there. So combine that experience and all the things I learned there through the management program and being a manager and leading people and all those things, combine that with my extreme love of talking and sharing too much and oversharing and all the other things that I do, you get storytelling all the time. Everything I do tells a story. And believe me, it drives my kids nuts. It drives my wife nuts. Probably drives everyone else nuts. They just don't have the guts to say it to my face. But everything I do, I tell it in a story or a story form. So that's what I wanted to talk about today and talk about how important it is that you have this skill. You either learn it somehow or you train yourself or you go to training classes, but how important this can be in the business world, in just your life in general, and how you connect with people. Nobody likes the guy or gal that gives a one-word answer, even if it's in a bar when they open again, or it's in a social setting at a party and someone says, hey, what do you do for a living? And, oh, I'm in security. Crickets, right? I mean, that's boring. How do you tell your story? How do you say, you know the people when you go to an airport or to a concert and they check your bags and they make sure you're safe? I'm that guy. I do that. I write those plans. I write those policies. And then that starts a conversation where people have questions and they want to know about your financial analysis role or whatever it is you do, whatever strange niche you're in. They want to know about it. So how do you tell that story, right? Well, the reason why this popped in my head right now is because I have been very fortunate and blessed as of late during this time of furlough and pandemic and all this uncertainty to have a couple of interviews and opportunities to really tell my story to people who know nothing about me other than what they've read on my resume. And I think I've said this before, and if I haven't, I'll tell you now because I over-explain things. Remember going back to the beginning of the show? Hope you were listening. My resume doesn't tell the whole story of who I am, right? It's a list. And whatever form you use for your resume, it kind of ends up being this way, but it's a list where you check off and you tell your certain skills, your experiences, your education. You usually put a date next to it. And it's really just a snapshot of that's who this person is. And in this online job market where we apply online and we oftentimes do a phone screening or a Zoom interview or whatever the case may be, you need to tailor that resume to hit certain keywords so it doesn't get pitched out by the automated system. So they're even less, I guess, intimate now when, as far as getting to know a person. They are literally a list of keywords that will hit all the filters to make sure that application is even seen by a real, live, breathing human being. So the resume just really doesn't tell who you are. So what's the next thing that you can do to help bolster your chances, right? Well, it's a cover letter. That's where you get a chance, again, to add more keywords that'll get past the filters, but tell it in a story fashion. Write a paragraph, write a story, or a quick synopsis about you and who you are. That's great, but where you really get to tell your story, you really get to talk about who you are, and they can hear the conviction in your voice and the passion, hopefully, that you have for the role you're going for or what you do or whatever the case may be. This isn't just about job interviews. Is when you get that face-to-face meeting or that meeting over Zoom, that phone call where you get to really articulate what you do. And if you're a bad storyteller and you can't put it into words and you can't really show that passion through your voice and through your body language, then it doesn't matter what your resume says. It doesn't matter how much experience you have. It doesn't matter how great you are. You are not going to stand out amongst the other candidates because you didn't tell your story. So as I said, I've been very blessed lately. Really, this is hot off the press news, everybody, like in the last week, to have the opportunity to tell my story multiple times to multiple people for these great opportunities. And I'm not going to say what they are yet because, well, I don't want to. I'm keeping it close to the vest just in case, who knows. But we're all trying to make something for ourselves in this time. And it's been no secret that I've talked about being furloughed and things like that. And unemployment's running out soon. These are all my issues over here. I don't expect anyone to feel sorry for me, but I got to put food on the table. I got to keep the lights on, and the kids like to buy expensive things, whatever, all those things. I got to work. I need to go back to work, and I need to do it soon. So I've been putting the oars in the water and trying to figure out what's out there with my skill set. I've applied for hundreds of jobs. I've heard back from some. I've been told I suck from some. All things you would expect in even a normal job market, but let alone this delicate one we find ourselves in now. But like I said, I was blessed to, again, this is all over the last 5 days, just get flooded with a bunch of opportunities and an opportunity to tell my story, multiple opportunities to tell my story. And so that's why this really popped in my head, and I wanted to share with everyone my views on being a good storyteller and what it can mean to your career and what it can mean to you socially and professionally and in your marriage, whatever. And on top of that, I happened to be scrolling through LinkedIn the other day, like my favorite place to go now. It's the only social media where there's very minimal political BS. There's very minimal COVID BS. It's just people looking for work or people sharing their knowledge. It's really a great place. So if you're not on LinkedIn, you should be. But I came across a great Harvard Business Review article, which I shared. So if you follow me on LinkedIn, which you, if you don't, you should. Riveting content, I'm telling you. Not really. But if you don't, you should. Just look up my name, John Joines, J-O-I-N-E-S, and follow along, because I like to share these little leadership tidbits as I come across them. And I also like to share just positive messages here. I really treat this social media a lot differently than my other personal social media channels. So follow me if you like some, you know, wisdom and positivity and some leadership nuggets as I come across them. But as I was saying, here I am having this chance to tell my story multiple times over the past week. And so, like I said, it really popped in my head that how important this is. But then I come across this article that is titled, What's Your Leadership Origin Story? And the whole article goes into, what is your story? It's all about your origin story as a leader. What lens do you see yourself through? And it goes into these different styles and different lenses. And the key feature here is it says we all pick a lens, and it's based on our previous experiences. Some start in childhood. Some start when you first took on that big position in your organization. Maybe you got promoted to director or senior director, VP, whatever the case may be. They all started somewhere for someone. And so they did a study of 92 origin stories across different genders and different levels and different socioeconomic backgrounds and races and all those things. And they determined these different lenses. One of them is being. That's the first lens. And this is leaders who adopted this lens. They suggested that they have always thought of themselves as leaders. So this goes back to kind of the kid example. You were in a group project and you stood out as the leader. You're out riding bikes with your friends or playing football in the street, and you kind of appointed yourself the team captain, or you said, let's go this way on the route on the bikes, and you just kind of made yourself a leader. That's one lens, is that I was just always kind of did that. And so when I started my career and went into the workforce, I gravitated toward that because that's what I know. The other lens is leaders who use this lens highlighted their successful facilitation of others, and this is being engaging. So they decided to take someone under their wing and help them and led them through a process, whether they were a stronger performer at work or they were working with a buddy who they cared about or who knows what, but they were engaging. They engaged someone else and they led them. This is the other lens that people saw themselves in when asked through this study. The third lens was called performing, and this kind of starts with a question. It says, do you feel a sense of duty to the organization? Or perhaps you often feel protective of your team, which you might sometimes refer to as your people, right? Leaders who adopted this lens often recounted their leadership as emerging from an achievement of a particular position. So, like I said, you're kind of moving along the ranks and you're doing your things and you're moving into middle management, but all of a sudden someone taps you and says, you know what? You'd be a great director. You're going to lead this department. Well, next thing you know, you're thrust into this and you have to perform at this high level, and maybe you do great. That's where you fit into this lens, is, you know what? I was kind of thrown into this role because someone saw something else in me and I performed great. And so now I'm a leader. Boom. Just like that. The fourth lens is accepting. Those who use this lens didn't think of themselves as leaders until they realized that others were following them. They recalled suddenly noticing that people were coming to them for answers, guidance, and support. So, I mean, this one's kind of really gratifying if this happened to you and this is your lens. Like I said, you're working along in your cube or your department, and all of a sudden people equal to you, maybe even at a higher level than you or rank, are coming to you and saying, hey, what do you think about this? Can you advise me on this? That's because they value your opinion and your performance as a leader. To me, this accepting one is kind of the best one. And I want to say that's how I kind of got into leadership, and it started in college with some programs and through my fraternity and things like that, is that people were coming to me, the young new guy, freshman, and saying, what do you think of this? How can we lead this group differently? What are your thoughts on this? And that's where I realized, well, hey, they value my opinion. I must be doing something right. And that's kind of where I fell in love with leadership. It wasn't anything with a kid. Believe me, when I was a kid, I was not the captain of the team. I was probably last picked most of the time. The only thing I did was I try to advise my friends on what's right. Maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we shouldn't do this bad thing or this risky thing, because that's who I was. I was not a risk taker. I was not someone who was willing to go off that jump and put my life in danger. So maybe that's a view of leadership by telling them, like, hey, this isn't safe, but I think they saw it a different way. They probably just saw it as annoying. So that's it for the different types of lenses. But then it goes on further in the article. And again, I highly recommend you look this up from the Harvard Business Review. Find it on LinkedIn or Google it or whatever, because it's very insightful. But it says that your lens and how you see yourself both enables and constrains you in your leadership abilities and style. So it's something to be aware of, is saying, you know, if you think you fit into one of those categories, like you fit into the accepting or the performing lens, don't let that be your niche. Branch out and explore the other ones and see how you can become a more well-rounded leader. So what does this mean for you, right? And this is where the storytelling piece really spoke to me in this article and really made me think how this is appropriate here, is it says experiment with different origin stories. You don't have to own one. As you become more well-rounded and experienced as a leader, you're going to experience all of these different origin stories throughout your career and different people you touch and different things you do. So if you're going for that big role or you find yourself out of work right now and in the opportunity to interview and tell your story, explore all of these origin stories. Why not use all of them, right? We don't have to use just one. And if you're not looking for work and this isn't about an interview, this storytelling ability and how you explain to people what your background is and what your leadership style is and how you intend to lead them, this is important for you to do for people you manage and mentor as well. You need to be able to tell them and get them to follow you and buy into your origin story and who you are and what you are as a leader. So how you tell that story is very important. In closing, check out the article. I implore you to find it, Harvard Business Review. Check it out, read it, and then start thinking about your origin story. Maybe write it down if you have time. Type it out, right? I wouldn't read it word for word if you have the opportunity to share it, but practice it. This elevator speech mentality is what people call it now, where you only get a certain snapshot to make that first impression to really tell somebody about who you are and what you do, right? Very important that you're able to tell that story the right way. You want to hit the key factors. You want to hit the important points about you, the things that make you the best leader and the best person possible. And again, like I said, you can use this socially. You can use it in your marriage, all kinds of things. Storytelling is important. It's how you command conversation and how you lead a conversation and how you keep people interested, especially your kids and your wife, right? You want them to be interested in what you do. So every time I go to tell my wife about my day or an idea I have, or I want to spend some money for this, I do it in the form of telling a story because it's important. She used to work at Disney. She gets it. And like she said, I over-explain things, which I do, but it's part of the storytelling process. I don't want to just lay it out there bluntly. I want to give a little background and a little why and some more why and a little bit more why. But that's key, right? It's important and it's part of your story. So your homework for this week, write your origin story. Whether it has to do with leadership or just your experience or whatever, write your origin story. So if you're ever cornered or have the opportunity for a big interview, for a big promotion, and someone asks you, tell me about yourself. Tell me about your experience. Tell me about you. You have a way to articulate it. You have a way to tell your story. That's all I got for this week. Thanks for coming back. Sorry about last week. I will not miss another week. I promise, unless I'm sick or dying of the COVID or my equipment breaks or whatever the case may be, but I will try my best not to miss a week. And remember, coming up very soon, hopefully real soon, maybe even next week, but probably not, I will have a very exciting guest and a really great conversation. And that reminds me, I want to put a shout out there to all of you listening. If you want to be a guest, if you want to talk about some positivity, if you want to talk about some tips and tricks to move ahead, if you want to talk about how to tell your story, business related, personal related, whatever the case may be, if you want to be a guest on this podcast, let me know. Email me at themovingaheadpod@gmail.com. Hit me up on social media at themovingaheadpod on Instagram or Facebook, and let me know. I'd love to talk to you. Talking to this foam box that I'm staring at right now is a little difficult sometimes. I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes I get crossed up on my words. My thoughts are going a million miles an hour because I don't script things. I like to test my ability as a storyteller, and I do it during this show. But I can tell you, having a conversation with someone so much easier than this. So if you want to be a guest, let me know. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Cheers.